Whoa, what is that?
I don't know, what is that?
Is that a...
What?
Could that be a...
It's a Bible bomb!
Hey, this is Landon.
This is Philip.
And we are your Bible Bomberman.
Let's drop some bombs!
Well, I just gotta have a disclaimer to everybody. The cat in this house has made my eyes very itchy. So if you can't understand me, blame the cat and blame my itchy eyes.
Wait, why are your eyes... why does it affect the way that you talk?
Just go with the script.
Okay. That's not in the script. Okay. Yeah. In our last episode, we discussed the man's role in the marriage relationship. So in case you guys don't know, God created them male and female. And what the world tells you about how there's no difference between the genders and you can be whatever gender you want, there's no basis for any of that.
False.
It's false. God made you a certain way. And like he said in Romans 9, you don't get to say, why did you make me this way? That's not necessarily talking about gender, but it's talking about anything, that any way that God made you. You know, you don't get to just say, why did you make me this way? God made you a certain way for a purpose. It's our job to submit to that. So the husband has to work his pants off to provide for his family. Not literally his pants off, but
yeah,
you know what I mean.
Thanks for the visual.
To make sure that she has all that she needs. He's to lead the wife and family to heaven and make the tough decisions with the wisdom that God provides. He's to love her, cherish her, and protect her. Big responsibility. So that's what we talked about last time. So this time.
Big. This big. Time.
This time we're talking about, what is the wife's role?
This is actually going to be a lot more controversial anyways. So
it is, but controversy's fun.
But when you're seeking after truth, controversy shouldn't phase you in the first place.
Yeah,
you just
want to
chase after truth.
You just want truth.
Put your big boy pants on, or big girl pants on, if you're a woman listening.
And or a dress.
I did look at some of the statistics of people who listen to our show, and most of them are men, but I don't know. This episode might attract more women to listen to.
Well,
I don't know.
Or detract. I know men need to listen to this too.
Yeah.
All right. Ephesians 5:22-24. What does that say?
Wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as the Christ is also the head of the church. He himself being the savior of the body, but as the church is subject to Christ. So also the wives ought to be to their husbands in everything.
And then read verse 33.
Nevertheless, each individual among you also is to love his own wife even as himself. The wife must see to it that she respects her husband.
Okay, so right here it says the husband is the head of the wife. So that lets us know that the husband is in charge. He gets to make the big decisions. He's the one who leads. So whenever somebody is in charge, and God does put people in charge of other people, the people who are under that person have to be submissive. Otherwise, things are not going to get done. So another example would be the elders in a church, right? So God put the elders to be in charge. And we, as the church, men too, have to be submissive to them. We have to be obedient. We have to follow their lead. We can't just be like, I don't like what they're doing, so I'm going to leave this church and go to a different church. Unless it's a... actual a doctrinal issue, but it's the same thing here with marriage.
I've heard some weird arguments about people who I think they call them egalitarians, people who want to say that women and men are on like an equal standard among the Bible, and they'll read head of the wife, and so they'll be like, oh, that's just because of the culture. That's because women weren't allowed to get jobs like men were. So that means the men just had to take care of that. So no, because right after that says, as Christ is also head of the church. So it is plainly stating that, yes, Christ has all the authority in the world. He's just clarifying that even further. So just thought I'd point that out.
I mean,
as well.
You can't just pick whatever you want to be a cultural thing. Like Jesus said... love one another as I have loved you. Well, that's just the culture of the time. No, you can't do that. Okay, so, but it is true that in Christ, everybody does have equal value. Like, there are no second-class citizens in the kingdom of heaven.
Nope.
As we said last week, the husband is to treat his wife like a fellow heir. So, both men and women who are Christians are equally seated on the throne with Christ. The church has a function, and they have to function as a team. And without leaders, the work of the team would not get done. So even in sports, right, there's team captains, there's coaches. In wars, there's captains, there's generals. It doesn't mean that the person under them is inferior. It doesn't mean that the people under them who have to submit to them aren't equal value or inferior. We have bosses at work that we have to submit to them, otherwise the work won't get done. Well, God designed that same thing to be in marriage, because the family unit has a job to do, to be lights in this world, to have a ministry, to pull people in to know about Christ. So if the wives are not subject to their husbands, then the work of God is not going to get done. So instead of having people fight over who's in charge, God decided from the beginning that man was going to be in charge.
Yep. A boss and employee might not be a perfect parallel with husband and wife, but
I get the point.
I get the point you're trying to make. But yeah, it says right from the beginning, and this is actually going to be in Genesis 3:16, and this is when God was telling the curses. This is right after Adam and Eve committed the very first sin. To the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply your pain and childbirth. In pain, you will bring forth children. Yet your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you.
He will rule over
Yeah, so right from the very
All the men in the audience just went, amen.
Yeah, they're all clapping, yeah. No, but right before that, he says, yet your desire will be for your husband. And what does he mean by that?
Well,
yeah, let me tell you what I think it says, what it means. And pretty soon after that in the books, Trinity. This is God speaking to Cain. And he says, if you do well, will not your countenance be lifted up? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door, and its desire is for you. But you must master it. This is the same phrase speaking to Cain, and God is saying, sin's desire is for you. And I think what it is he's saying, you're going to want to control your husband. You're going to want to boss him around. You're not going to want to be told what to do. You're not going to want to submit. And right after he says, your desire will be for your husband, he says, and he will rule over you. So I feel like using context, this is what he's talking about. And I don't even know if the curse, this is like part of the curse that he's saying. Part of the curse is going to be, you're going to want control over the relationship. You're going to want control over the family. It might just be he's saying, even though your desire is for your husband, he's going to still rule over you. It could be saying that too. I think that's probably what it's saying.
Yeah, I think you're on the right track.
Yeah, I think that's what he's saying there. But he's saying, even though you're going to want to tell your husband even if your husband is kind of stupid sometimes. Wife is right a lot of the time. Even though sometimes you're going to want to boss him around, he will rule over you. And kind of, it's really so controversial to speak mm-hmm. about things like this, because then it's like, man, this guy he's a woman hater. He just mm-hmm. wants to, his family is probably like a horrible.
You're a Hitler.
Yeah, like he's going to rule over, he's going to be spanking his wife.
His wife is a slave.
Yeah. But talking about
ranking. We cleared all that up last,
I know,
last
I
episode. Know. So.
Yeah. But talking about ranking in the family, who's in charge? Makes it very clear from the very beginning. And
that really is a challenge to us men to step up, like, and not be stupid, but to be smart.
Yeah.
Anyways, so what does it mean to submit? This very, very unpopular word that the world hates. So a lot of men are afraid of their wives. A lot of Christian men are really afraid to make their wives upset. They're afraid to lead. They're afraid to rule because they don't want to make their wives pout and cry. And a lot of Bible class teachers and preachers have kind of made fun of Ephesians 5:22 and 24. They like to tone it down and dance around it. I mean, I've heard this multiple times. They really focus on the husband section, but when it comes to the wives, they kind of make a joke about it.
Yeah, it's because it's really uncomfortable to talk about, especially if you're a man.
And your wife is sitting right there.
Yeah, your wife's sitting. Which your wife. Yeah, your wife is right around the corner. But yeah, especially preachers who are standing in front of a bunch of women and they're a man themselves, it's uncomfortable because you're like, what I just read in Genesis, like, I don't want to, like, say this, but then when it comes down to it, controversy and truth, like, truth will plow through controversy. Yeah. You shouldn't care.
Is your wife a truth seeker?
It's uncomfortable.
Is she someone who is actually seeking and searching, hungering and thirsting for righteousness? Then it shouldn't be a problem. I remember hearing a preacher say, was talking about this during a Bible class, and he was saying, submission and obedience are not the same thing. So can someone submit without obeying? I think where these guys are coming from is later in Ephesians, it says, children, obey your parents. It doesn't use the word submit. That's a totally different thing. As we pointed out last week or 2 weeks ago, the child does not differ from the slave. That's what Galatians 4 says. So children, you have to obey their parents. If they don't, the rod of correction comes out and your kids obey just like slaves. Submission is not really the same thing, but it includes obedience. It's not just obedience, but it includes that. So how it says you're to be subject to your own husband as to the Lord, can we be subject to God and disobey him at the same time?
Yeah, it's not really possible to to be in full submission. Like, okay, let's say that I'm choosing to submit to my boss for like a new job or something. And I know this isn't a perfect parallel, like I said earlier, but if I choose to submit and he's like, okay, can you now, you need to go work this store. And I'm like, no, I would rather not. I want to work this one over here. Then that's not even submission, because I have to obey to be included in the submission. And it's kind of changing what submission means.
Yeah.
Like, exactly. If you don't include obedience, what does submission
or
mean?
When
it doesn't mean anything.
When God says, repent and be baptized, and you say, no, I want to pray Jesus into my heart instead, but I'll be submissive. No, you have to obey. You have to obey God to be submissive to him.
Yep.
So submission includes obedience, but it is more than that. So submission is when you stand by your husband when he makes the big decisions and go along with what he says. So if the husband says, we're only going to watch TV on Friday nights, whether you like it or not, it's your job to submit to that.
It's a big decision, and then TV.
So husbands do get to make small decisions too. But, you know, those can be big decisions, because what if me and Hannah used to watch a lot more TV when we were first married, and it was not doing very much good for us spiritually, because we weren't reading our Bibles as much, so we had to cut back and do what's right. So it's the husband's job to step up and say, hey, we're gonna only do that. And that's just one example, but the wife has to or needs to submit to that. So submission is more than just obeying. It's the attitude you do it with, and that's where respect comes in. That's why it says the wife is to respect her husband.
Yeah. Another thing too is, like, pretty much in all cases, as a wife, you should submit to what your husband tells you to do. But there are also examples, since men are not perfect, they're not God, where women do not have to, they can choose to do the right thing, similar to when government is telling you you cannot assemble with the saints. The scripture tells you to submit to government, yet in this case it's totally wrong.
You gotta obey God rather than man.
Just when before Abigail and David in the Old Testament were married, Abigail completely went against what her husband said to do so she could save lives. And so there are examples where men have failed, but you have to look at it through scripture. Like, if the example you pulled up of no movies on, or we're going to watch movies on Friday nights, that's not against scripture. So you should submit to your husband in that case.
We're talking a little bit more about that
Later on.
Later on, though.
All right.
You also don't want to just be looking for reasons to not submit.
Definitely
not. That is not a God-fearing wife. That is a... Anyway, so respect. So if your husband asks you to put on a different dress because maybe you want to go out and your dress isn't very modest, and he says, no, that's not modest. If I was a 12-year-old boy and saw you in that, you know, my eyes would bulge out like when Bugs Bunny's eyes bulge out at some inappropriate looking girl. You know, you need to trust your husband on that because he knows. You don't know, okay? He's the one who's a man, and he knows what it's like to have, you know, women be stumbling blocks. So if you do, if you go change your dress and put on something more modest, well, but then you grumble and complain about it. Maybe you go and complain to all your girlfriends about it. Like, my husband made me change my dress, and they're like, oh, what a tyrant. He has no right to do that. You obeyed, but you were not submissive because
also,
you were not respectful.
That's also gossip, too, which is...
Yeah, it's gossip.
Too, but
yeah, so that's disrespectful. It's
the
attitude that you do it with. The wife should be asking her husband, and my wife asks me this all the time. She's always asking me, is this modest enough? Can I go out in this? She's always asking my permission what she can go out in. And
same.
I've had to say no a few times, and I've said yes a few times. Sometimes I'm like, you can just wear that around me when we're...
Yeah,
and nobody else is
exactly.
here. But a disrespectful and submissive wife will destroy the husband's confidence, and he won't be able to lead, and the family cannot be a light in the world. And it's just... It creates problems, like in the church in Corinth when everything that was a mess. The family will be dysfunctional, will end up serving Satan instead of God. So our next question is, what if you disagree with your husband on something?
Ooh.
Okay, that is a huge, huge thing, because just as God, so we are the church, we are the bride of Christ, and it's our job to submit to God. Well, God gives man the ability to pray and make petitions, and that's a great thing. He's not a tyrant. God allows us to reason with... The Bible says that Moses reasoned with God. Moses was able to ask God to not destroy all the Israelites, and I think God knew Moses was going to say that. He just wanted Moses to do that. Mm-hmm. But God allows us to talk to him. So you as the wife have the right to talk to your husband and a reason with him and share things from your point of view, and you may have a perspective that he hasn't thought of.
Yeah.
And that's happened to me lots of times.
Which is one of the big benefits of being married.
I'll think I'm completely right about something, and my wife will come to me and share with me something that I hadn't thought of before, and I'm like, oh yeah, I didn't think of that.
Yeah.
But he still gets to make the decision. Okay, and if you don't agree with it, guess what? You need to submit. Okay, there's no voting in marriage, okay? So marriage consists of two people. I guess if you were a polygamist, you could probably cast a vote, but that's, you don't want to do that. So you can't just
the way
cast
God
a vote.
Designed it, there's no voting.
Yeah, you need to stand by your husband and let him know that you will have his back no matter what. And that can be a very scary thing, but this has to do with faith. You're doing this because of your belief in God, because God designed the wife to be, that's his plan, that you submit.
Yeah, imagine how divisive that would be in a marriage where you had a voting system, and then every time you disagreed, it would be a split vote. Then you'd be like, well, now what do we do? And then whichever way you go, the other person is just going to be like, wow, I was right, and then like I had equal amount of authority, and you still went that way, and then like
it reminds me of R2-D2 and C-3PO when they're on Tatooine and they want to go two different ways.
Yeah,
like, I'd rather go this way. Wife, wherever your husband goes, you need to go. Okay, you gotta stand by him.
If you disagree too, I think it is always a good thing to like we said, like, have a conversation. Tell him.
Yeah, definitely.
Tell him why you disagree too, and why you think what you think is better. But yeah, ultimately, God gave the authority to the man.
Mm-hmm. And one of the worst things you can do is complain to your friends about your husband, which we kind of said, because that's gossip. Your friends need to know that you stand by your husband and that you would sink or swim with him. Okay, so if you're either going to, in whatever decision the husband is making, you're either going to be there with him and succeed in it, or you're going to fail together.
Rich or poor, either sickness way, and health.
Yes. Either way, you're with him. You're going to stand by his side. One of the worst things a wife can do is disobey, if I can use that word, her husband in front of their kids. So, for example, husband says, we're only going to watch TV on Friday nights. But the wife lets him watch TV on Thursday morning and says, don't tell dad. Okay? You need to repent, okay? If that's you. So, you are setting your kids up to be rebellious, and you're teaching them not to take the commandments of God too seriously. Not that the husband is God, but that this is a picture of what it means for the church to submit to God. By the way, Christians in general are supposed to be submissive people. We're supposed to be submissive to our masters, our employers, our government, the police,
church leaders.
Whenever I go into a restaurant or a store, I submit to the employees there. I treat them as they are the boss. This is not my store, it's their store. They make the rules and I'm going to follow it. The elders in the church, deacons even, we're supposed to be submissive, okay? So it's not just wives being submissive.
Marriage is so interesting because it is a picture of what the church is supposed to look like. As the man represents God, but obviously not God, but represents God. Because as it says, the wife is to submit as the church is supposed to submit to Jesus. And so if you are submitting in your daily life to God and to his principles, to the church, to the government, to others around you, then that is a good picture of how the wife is supposed to submit to the husband. It's not like submit like micromanagement, like the husband is like, you can have breakfast at 8 a.m. And then it's not the same thing.
That's not really submission. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that later on too. But basically, a submission is an act of faith. So when you submit to your husband, you're doing it because you trust God, not necessarily because you trust your husband. Hopefully your husband is trustworthy. But the reason why you're submitting is because of your trust in God. That's what he has asked you to do. That's the only way that you can serve, that the family can serve God, is if the wife is doing her part. So what if your husband isn't a Christian? Let's say you heard the gospel and then you got baptized, but your husband, he's not buying it. He doesn't want anything to do with it. That can be a big problem. Well, the Bible actually has something to say about it. Read 1 Peter 3:1-6.
In the same way, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands, so that even if any of them are disobedient to the word, they might be won without a word by the behavior of their wives. As they observe your chaste and respectful behavior, your adornment must not be merely external, braiding the hair and wearing gold jewelry or putting on dresses, but let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. For in this way, in former times, the holy women also who hoped for God used to adorn themselves, being submissive to their own husbands, just as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. And you have become her children if you do what is right without being frightened by any fear.
All right, so if your husband is not a Christian, chances are he's probably not going to even be taking on the authoritative position or leading. Even with that, you still need to act as if he is. So if he's not being a leader at all, you can still do a lot to try and save his soul by being submissive and respectful by treating him as if he is. Now, this seems so backwards. A lot of women think you have to say something. Like, he doesn't know the gospel. I really have to say something.
Gotta beat him over the head with scripture.
Yeah. Now, this is not a law. It's not a legalistic law. I don't think a woman is sinning if she says something about the Bible to her unbelieving husband. Just know that it's not going to be effective. Probably, most likely not going to be effective. So God, being God, he knows how men and women operate. He knows how their brains work because he's the one who designed them. You are much more likely going to be effective winning your husband over by how you treat him than the words that you speak. Now, you also got to be careful about this because faith only comes by hearing. So your husband is only going to be saved by words. Mm-hmm. Okay? But
well, another thing, yeah, too, about this is you're likely going to have conversations anyway. Your actions will be far more valuable, especially to men who are very visual anyways.
Mm-hmm.
And the way our brains work is kind of crazy. And women probably would be sometimes think we're stupid sometimes.
Yeah.
They might not be too wrong. But we are very visual. And so that'll have a huge impact on us and a very positive one if you're actively obeying. But if you look at your husband and see, wow, he's disobedient to the word, and so I need to take the authoritative position because I'm the only one who's going to get things done properly because I'm the only Christian here. That's going to look really bad on the man, on the husband. He's going to...
Yeah, that's not going to work.
It's going to probably cause some huge problems. And then he's... Even if he does give the Bible a chance, he's not going to see it in your life, and that's probably going to hurt his faith in the long run.
Yeah, that could do a lot more damage because the husband wasn't designed to be in a submissive role to a woman. And when a woman lectures and tries to preach, that's how it is. He is seeing that as she's having authority over me. And the husband wasn't designed for that. So that's why the Bible talks about a woman keeping silent in the church and not having authority over a man or to teach them, because it is not effective. It's not how God designed men and women. It's not about law. It's not about legalism. It's about faith. It's about trusting in God's plan. Most men would rather get shot than listen to a woman lecture at them.
That's true.
Because it's like the most offensive thing ever. Like, how dare you bring me down to this level, treating me like your mom? Yeah. And the woman probably wasn't even intending that at all. She probably had
good intentions.
She thought she was just loving her husband.
Yeah, she's like, I'm the Christian here. I need to step up. But that's not what the Bible says. Yeah.
The wife needs to win him without a word.
I'm going to throw this in here just real quick. But in both of the scriptures we've read so far, it's said both times, be submissive to your own husbands. We're not building a case that women need to be submissive to men. To every man, like every man that pops up, he's talking about your husband. You don't have to obey every man because he's a dude and you're a girl, and like you don't have to submit to every dude. And so we're not teaching like also, this crazy, yeah, sexist case. I mean, we did talk about sexism in the Bible in a previous episode, mm-hmm, but he's not saying that. This is about husband and wife relationship strictly. Your own husband.
Also, I do want to throw out, if you are not married yet, if you're dating or courting, that you are not in a submissive role yet, okay?
No.
You still have the choice to marry him or not. So if your boyfriend is asking you to share your bank account information with him, you can say no, okay?
No.
If he's saying you can only watch TV on this day, you can say no, okay? He has not earned that right until you put on
divorce.
The rings. Until you put on the rings, you know?
There's divorce, the same thing happens. All the husband rights are taken away.
Yeah, but yeah. Hopefully there's no divorce unless
hopefully
it's for
no
the
divorce,
right reason.
But same thing.
But okay, so girlfriends, you want to obviously treat your boyfriends or fiancés with respect, but you're not obligated to submit until the rings come on and you guys are officially married, okay? This is for wives and husbands. Your husband has to earn this.
Yeah.
He has to do what Jesus went to the cross to earn it for us, so your husband has to earn it from you. Anyways, and that's when you guys get married. So, look at what verse 5 and 6 say. Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. Now, that's not God, Lord. That's not Jehovah, obviously. But it means more of master. And the modern equivalent would be like sir. Like you are,
yeah,
not... Master doesn't always mean slave master, okay?
You can own... You can. There's a company that's selling 1 square foot pieces of property in Scotland, and you can be officially called Lord because you own the,
yeah,
piece of land.
Lord and those... And a master do not always mean you're a slave driver. It just means you're in charge, okay? In today's society, we don't really like those words because we associate them with slavery. But it would be like, sir, like you are,
yeah,
in charge. Sarah obeyed Abraham. All right. So, yes, wives do need to be obedient to their husbands. And, you know, in America, they used to include that in the wedding vows for the women. They used to say, you know, you promise to obey. That would be in the wedding vows. Back in the day, that they would actually...
Weird.
The wife would promise to obey.
I've never heard that.
Yeah. So obey with great attitudes. Do it for God. Okay, you're accountable to him. If you have a good Christian husband, he's not going to punish you for not being submissive. But God will. Okay, you answer to God. You are accountable to him. So do it for him.
If he punishes you, he's going to be punished for that.
Yeah,
he's going to be punished
for that. speaking of punishment... So last episode, we talked about how bad husbands punish their wives, thinking that that'll work to get them to submit. But do wives ever punish their husbands? Yeah, women are very good at manipulating their husbands to get their own way. Think of the silent treatment, public shaming. So I've seen a lot of wives yelling at their husbands in public, treating their husbands like they're children. You ladies realize that your husbands might... act like children sometimes. And I think a lot of you say, well, if he's going to act like a child, I got to treat him like a child. And no, you don't.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm pretty sure Jesus said something like, treat everyone the way that you want to be treated. I don't remember the words unless in there. You do not have to treat your husband like he's a child, even if he's acting like a child. Okay. That's never appropriate. Then wives like to withhold sex from their husbands. Some like to kick them out of their bedroom and make them sleep on the couch. Every single one of those things are sinful. Okay, if you are guilty of any of that, you're sinning. You need to repent and go apologize to your husband. Okay, it doesn't matter if he deserves it or not. You do the right thing.
That's one thing that I'm really thankful for that my wife does with me is there's been a couple of times where I did something that upset her, and I had no idea until we got home. And then she would tell me, like, what I did and be like, why it upset her and stuff. And I was like, I obviously was sad and had to figure out the situation. But inside, I was also thinking, wow, I'm just so thankful that she did not make it public or just totally, like, shun me in front of everybody. Like, that's actually a really respectful thing to do.
Making it public is... probably the ultimate disrespect you can do is go tell other people about how your husband did this. Talking bad about your husband behind your back, which I've seen a lot of women do on Facebook, in real life.
Yeah.
That's disrespectful. And that is, it doesn't matter if your husband deserves it. There's that post on Facebook that I've seen married women post. Marriage is just adopting an overgrown little boy who can't take care of himself. Something like that. Totally disrespectful. Like, you're married. Your husband's going to see that.
Yeah, well, you're allowed to joke around with stuff like that in private, probably. But, I mean, in public, that's disrespectful. That's a no-no.
That's evil. Don't do that, okay? That will destroy your husband's confidence to lead, and your family will go down in a tank, okay? So don't worry about whether your husband... deserves it or not, you do the right thing. If First Peter is saying, be respectful to your non-Christian husband, what about to your Christian husband who is trying, who's making the effort to be better? You know, you go do the right thing.
That's actually pretty much the number one rule when it comes to these marriage principles is God never tells women to force their husband to self-sacrificially love them. And the Bible never tells men to force their wives to submit. It only, every time it talks about the role in the family, it's talking specifically, women, this is what you should do. Men, this is what you should do. It's talking about, you do your job. You can't force them. Don't worry about them. You do your job.
Well, that's the difference between, I think, submission in Ephesians 5 and obedience in Ephesians 6. Submission is not forced.
Yeah.
Obedience
is. It can't be forced.
It's a choice.
Otherwise, not submission.
So that leads us to our next question. What is the job of the wife? What's her duty? Is it to be a slave? And we've talked about this enough. Of course not. Read what 1 Corinthians 7:21 through 23 says.
Were you called while a slave? Don't worry about it. But if you are able to also become free, rather do that. For he who was called in the Lord while a slave is the Lord's freed man. Likewise, he who was called while free is Christ's slave. You were bought with a price. Do not become slaves of men.
Okay, so I think it's pretty clear. We could probably do a whole episode about this because Christianity gets attacked.
Oh, yeah, definitely. That's plenty slavery. Of content.
God does not like slavery. He allowed it because it paints a picture of what slavery to sin is, and he wants to free us from that. But God said it through Paul. Do not become slaves of men. God doesn't like it when people control other people. So that's not what this is about. That's not what the wife is.
The punishment was death in the law, too.
Yeah. the wife is not the husband's slave, but the husband's helper. So read Genesis 2:18.
Then the Lord said, it is not good for man to be alone. I will make him a helper, suitable for him. Who's he talking about there?
Yeah, who is he talking about?
The woe man.
You got to remember, this is before the curse. So even though it hasn't been said that the husband's going to rule over you, it was still a fact before the curse, when everything was still good, that the wife's job was to help her husband. So read what 1 Corinthians 11:8 through 9 says.
For man does not originate from woman, but woman from man. For indeed, man was not created for the woman's sake, but woman for the man's sake.
The man was not created to be the woman's helper. Okay? The woman was created to be man's helper. A good husband helps his wife because Christians go the extra mile. But the wife is the helper. That's why he made woman, to help. Do you know why? Because men need help. We need help. Men cannot live without women. Men cannot fulfill their duties without a woman. Even single men need women. Apostle Paul and all those guys, they're always getting help from women in the church. Jesus was always getting help from Mary and Martha, and a lot of the women administered to them. Even single missionaries often get a lot of female help. So men, in general, need help that other men can't really provide very well. Read what Titus 2:3-5 says.
Older women likewise are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips or enslaved to much wine, teaching what is good, so they may encourage the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sensible, pure, workers at home, kind, being subject to their own husbands, so that the word of God will not be dishonored.
This world that we live in likes to applaud women who get careers and advance in the workplace and climb the corporate ladder and slay dragons in TV shows and take over just about every Hollywood franchise. Anyway, I'm sorry, going on a random rant. But God applauds the women who are workers at home, who have a gentle and quiet spirit, who are subject to their own husbands. That is what's precious to him. That's what...
Gentle and quiet spirit.
The church really needs to get on it, on advertising this. This is a beautiful theme that the wife stays at the home.
Especially in today's culture, too, where the public schools are teaching more and more crazy stuff. But and private schools, too. But a side note to this is also the Bible never says women cannot work in careers, because there are Christian women in the Bible. Mm-hmm. Lydia is an example, who had their own companies. there's leaders in the government that are women. But the Bible makes excessively this point over and over. The women are to raise the children, the women, workers in the home. Women cannot ignore this. Even if you are working at a job and you're successful at it, you cannot ignore the home.
You're still going to be working at home, so that's just going to add a lot of...
It has to be your priority.
And that is your husband's decision if you're going to go into the workplace or not, okay? That's another thing that you have to submit to. And I know that you don't like that, but it's true. Anyways, so husbands should be helping out with chores. I mean, I do that a lot. But for the most part, cooking, cleaning, dishes, laundry, and those things are going to fall on you. And why not? Because your husband is breaking his back for you at work. So why not keep the house? It's a fair deal. Another thing is...
Unless your husband's laying on the couch all day eating snacks.
Yeah. I hope
In
not.
In that case, why did you marry him? I'm just kidding. Yeah.
Also, there's the flip side of this. A lot of women can't wait to be housewives. Don't use the housewife label as an excuse to be lazy, okay? So... being a housewife doesn't mean I'll do some dishes, then watch TV for an hour. Then I'll throw a load of laundry, then take a nap, then read a book, then go out with my friends, then come back and throw something together for dinner. Being a housewife means work. Okay, your husband doesn't get very many breaks. Why should you? So when kids come, you know, when you start having kids, they're not going to give you very many breaks anyway. So be a hard worker. And I think a lot of women don't feel appreciated because they're so behind the scenes. They're in the background. They don't get a lot of appreciation from the world. And
sometimes not enough from their husbands.
Yeah, not enough from their husbands. And shame on us husbands if we're not showing appreciation to our wives. But God sees you. And hopefully your husband appreciates you. But the work you do as a wife and mother, we're not necessarily talking about mothers right now, but the work you do as a wife is essential. Okay, it's not law. There might be circumstances where the wife has to go get a job. But that's not God's original plan. Okay, the most important mission field for the wife is her children, if there are children, and her home. A lot of the hospitality falls on the wife when people come over. You know, it's the husband's home, but in reality, it's the wife's home. You know, she's the one who's keeping it. She's the one who's doing a lot of, you know, this is where the dishes go, this is where the forks go, this is where the furniture goes. The wife is usually the one who provides the place for to show hospitality to people from the church or strangers or anything like that. So don't underestimate the power of being a worker in the home. So as we're saying all this, this isn't something I'm trying to say to my wife because I'm too scared to say all this to her. Okay, this is a thing in general to all wives everywhere.
You know what I mean? After this, you're like, hey honey, can you listen to this podcast?
Yeah, wink wink. No, that's not what this is. Okay, so this is objective stuff for all wives. So in the Titus 2 passage, it says, where it says the wives are to love their husbands, it's the word philandros. I think I pronounced that right. It's the same kind of word as phileo, the same root word, which is the love of emotion and friendship. Except the word philandros only applies to husbands and wives. So it's the love a wife has for her husband. So that's the only time in the entire New Testament where that word is used. So one of your husband's greatest needs is your friendship. Mm-hmm. And women usually have more friends than men. And that's just my observation. A dog is not man's best friend, a man's wife is. So that's kind of my observation at like church and stuff. You know, you always see the wives talking with a bunch of women and the husband's over there with his arms folded, waiting for his wife to get done, right? Yeah. Maybe two men, maybe there's two husbands standing together and you start conversating a little bit while the wives are talking, but none of you know what to say. It's just a natural thing. Men don't have as many friends as women. So your husband needs your friendship. And very much, I don't know if we talked about this last time, but the wife needs her husband's friendship as well. That's really important. It's not just about husbands ruling and wives submitting. It really is about the relationship. Both the husband and the wife need to have some fun together. You know, go on dates, do all that stuff. So to wrap this up, wives, you have a very hard job. And we applaud you for it. If you are listening to this, and you are a homemaker and you are doing your best to respect your husband, we recognize you, we cheer you on. You are heroes to the church and you are very precious in the sight of God. Wives need to support their husbands and cheer them on. So you are your husband's cheerleader, right? So your husband is going out there and doing some hard stuff. Let him know how much you appreciate it. Go like on his break, you know, if he still has a bunch of hours he's got to work, tell him how much you're proud of him, you know, how he can do it, you know, go be his cheerleader. Go the extra mile. Even if you disagree with him, let him know that you respect his decision and that you will stand by him no matter what. If your husband is wrong and the decision that he makes just it's a train wreck, know I told you so's, okay?
Yeah.
Stand by him, okay? Because if he fails in something or if the whole family fails and he apologizes to you, one of the worst things you can do is make him feel bad about it. If you want to build his confidence, let him know that it's okay. You know, you're there with him, and that'll very much help.
Yeah, I told you so's are one of my least favorite one of my least favorite things. Especially growing up with lots of siblings, you hear that all the time. And it's definitely no fun.
Yeah. One other thing I wanted to throw out about the work. So wives and husbands are not in competition with each other. So you're not in competition with your work. So let's say your husband comes home from work and I know all of us men have different jobs. Some you guys sit at a computer all day. I sweat in the first 2 hours at a hot warehouse during the summer, lifting heavy boxes and stuff. So for about mostly 10 hours a day, 9.5 or 9. So your husband comes home and he looks very tired. And let's say you are a mother and you've been working with your kids all day, so you haven't gotten very much sleep. You ask your husband how his day was at work, and he says it was very hard. It can be very tempting to say, well, my day was hard too, or I work hard too, not just you. Like, wow, your husband's not going to want to ever talk to you about his hardships ever again. Because all of a sudden, you're not thinking about him, you're thinking about yourself. So just because you had a hard day with the kids doesn't mean that your husband didn't have a hard day. So let his hard days be valid. Let his hard work not be invalidated because you may have worked harder than him. It doesn't matter who worked harder.
Yeah.
Just if your husband had a hard day, let him rest for a minute or give him a kiss, give him a hug, let him know you're there, everything's okay. You know, don't just be like, well, I worked hard too, everything's, I'm, you know, that's, yeah, that's just
it
rude.
It definitely goes both ways.
And husbands,
that is a pretty common conversation,
husbands,
I feel like.
Same goes for you, okay? So just because you had a hard day at work doesn't mean your wife got it all easy, okay? Especially if there's children.
Yeah, that's one of the things that my wife tells me about, especially once we have kids, is she doesn't want, as soon as I get home, for me to just ignore the crying babies and go flop on the bed and wait for dinner to be served on my lap. Like, she's probably going to want a little break. She's going to want me to hold a baby while she stirs the pot or something.
Yeah. And that,
like,
that's another thing, is that you always hear mothers, the job of a mother is equivalent to 2.5 full-time jobs, which I agree with, but what about the father? So does that mean, so the father actually has to go and clock into a workplace and be time constrained. Then when he comes home, what is he going to do then? Is his full-time job over because he only has one job? Well, no, his job is to be a father. He is to be a father and a husband. He's not to sit on the couch and play video games while the wife is tackling the kids and making dinner at the same time. So
actually, most of the time when child disobedience is talked about in the Bible, the father comes up, because we are supposed to be involved in training our children to be good men, to be Christians. We're supposed to be involved in that process and not just be the breadwinners. We have other responsibilities.
Yeah, we are.
But this isn't
leading
even supposed to
our
be
family.
A husband episode. Yeah, what are we talking about?
Well, I wanted the wives to hear that because I want the wives to understand that it's not just you doing all the work, okay? If your husband is coming home and he's having to change the diapers right as he come home or anything like that, don't make your husband feel like you are working harder than he is. If he is being a lazy bum, ask him politely to get his butt up off the couch and do something, okay? So
again, that goes back to the other thing we're talking about the unbeliever. I mean, it's not speaking to this specifically, but worry about yourself. Focus on your actions, and lots of the time, people will pick up on that. And if he's watching you dash back and forth in the kitchen, run to the baby's room to give him some milk and like, oh, the food's going to burn and stuff, and he's just sitting on the couch watching TikTok or TV, he'll probably pick up on that and be like, if he doesn't, then he's got some other issues he needs to work on. But
anyways, okay. Yes, just be understanding that your husband is a hard worker too. And if he complains to you about something, don't invalidate it by just starting to complain about your date. Both of you can have equal times to talk about your hardships. Okay. Anyways, so no pride. So Wives, you are not Mrs. Always Right, okay? that is a lie, and husbands like to think their wives are right even when they're wrong just to avoid some big issues, okay? Those husbands are cowards. So if your husband corrects you on something, apologize, okay? Don't ever, 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 ever yell at him, okay? I am against husbands and wives raising their voices at each other for any reason, unless it's like a life-saving reason. Like, if there is a legitimate reason to raise a voice, but during like a fight, like an argument, husbands and wives raising their voices at each other is just not a good thing, okay?
I've heard people talk about, like, if you're raising your voice, likely that means there's going to be emotion into it. And if you're approaching a conflict with a lot of emotion, likely nothing's going to be solved anyways. Mm-hmm. So you need to cool off and come back to it if you've got something like that.
Okay, instead of talking bad about him, tell everyone how proud you are of him. You know, tell all your friends, brag about him. And side note, don't forget to fulfill your duty to him, wink, wink. as your husband is patient with you and shows you mercy, and you become more respectful and let him lead, be patient and merciful with him as he learns to lead and fulfill your needs. So isn't that what Christianity is? It's being patient and merciful with each other as we're all being conformed more to the character of Christ. Husbands and wives, especially since you're living together, need to be willing to show more patience and show more mercy with each other. So wives, do your role and have a great life doing it. It's exciting, it's awesome. It's something that the church needs to be talking about more. Mm-hmm. And just know that God loves you, and he knows it isn't easy to be a woman, okay? You know how when some people say, they ask you to do something and they just say, do it for me? I think that's what God is saying. He's saying, do it for me. Do it for him, because it's his plan. It's his plan, and he has these plans for a reason. And the reason is because it's the most effective way for the family to spread the gospel is for the husbands to lead and for the wives to be the submissive part. Now, the submissive role is equally as essential as the husband's part. So the husband is not more important. Yeah. Last episode, we talked about how husbands do not have authority to punish their wives, okay? So, again, don't do that, okay? Don't put your wife under a system of law. That's not what Christianity is.
No spanking, no timeouts.
No grounding, don't any of that, okay? Yeah. No
taking away their phones.
No spanking. But on Judgment Day, all the feminists, disrespectfuls, the unsubmissiveness, manipulating bossy wives are going to receive a huge spanking from God himself, who will cast them in the lake of fire for refusing to let go of their pride and do things God's way. And that's what this is all about. It's pride. And I have seen, in my personal experience, I've seen a lot more women disrespecting their husbands and their husbands disrespecting their wives. And husbands let it happen. They just want to make their wives happy. They just are too cowardly to do anything about it. But because we always hear since birth, that's kind of a dramatic, always hear since a childhood, men need to respect women, which is true, okay? Definitely true.
Yep.
But you never hear the opposite, though, out there in culture, out there, even in the church. Women need to respect men. You say that, get shot. But it's true. Women need to respect
it is true.
Men, and especially their husbands, okay? And it's very discouraging in the church when I don't see that. So like I said in the last episode, the New Testament church is not restored until the New Testament home is restored. This is something that needs to get restored, is the biblical home. It's not the a family. Cultural thing. It's the effective way to share the gospel and to be a light in this world. Mm-hmm. So what else do you have to say?
Well, okay, you mentioned just a minute ago that that you personally see probably more wives disrespecting their husbands than husbands disrespecting wives. And I thought, oh, that's interesting. Me too. But I was also thinking about it. I see a lot more men disrespecting women than women disrespecting men. But wives seem to be more disrespectful to husbands typically. I don't know. I was just thinking about that in my head. Like, I see a lot of men, but
unmarried but men, general,
yeah,
boys,
unmarried men,
and so middle school boys, rappers,
lots of boyfriends,
actors,
abuse,
celebrity but, guys. Yeah.
But it does exist everywhere, honestly.
Yeah.
But yeah, it just made me have some deep thoughts about it. But I don't know.
Yeah, I see it, especially in the church. I've seen a lot of women talk bad about their husbands behind their back, post a rude Facebook post, yell at their husbands as if they're like their mom. That's not okay. So hopefully, if you're hearing this, I know we did a lot of rebuking in this episode. Know that God does love you. And if you have a marriage that is rocky, not like Rocky Balboa, but like is rough because, well, maybe you've been blaming everything on your husband, but maybe it's time to take the plank out of your own eye and think, well, maybe I haven't been very respectful. Maybe I haven't been showing him respect. It's not about whether or not he deserves it or not. It's about maybe I haven't done my part, and maybe I've kicked him out of the bed a few times to put him in the doghouse. And maybe it's time to do some self-examination, and maybe you can at least fix your end of the deal. That's how a marriage gets fixed. It starts by the individual saying, here's how I can do my part. You have to die to self, you got to swallow your pride, and you got to serve God his way, and he's going to reward us. All right, so that is our episode.
That is the
our
episode.
Two-parter episode about marriage. Do know that we're not woman haters. We already did an episode about sexism. So we uphold women who do what the Bible says. We uphold them as biblical heroes. And we support all of you. So our next episode then, we're going to talk about, I think, one of the biggest problems in churches of Christ. And that is legalism. So many churches just do not seem to get it. So we're going to talk about what it is and how to defeat it. We'll see you then.
Until then, we'll see you guys.